Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
We've been discussing this week reasons that you and I can rejoice. And today we're going to talk about rejoicing in like-mindedness. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, and look at verses 1 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Notice what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. He said, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded. Well, we should rejoice in like-mindedness. Like-mindedness is a reason for our joy. We're to be like-minded in our marriages. We are to be like-minded in our families. We are to be like-minded in our friendships. We are to be like-minded in our churches. And Paul here was writing to a congregation of believers in Philippi, in a church. And so today we are going to look carefully at what he said, particularly in verses 2 and 3, about our like-mindedness. We're like-minded when we are, first of all, of one love. One love. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded. And then he begins to describe that, having the same love. We're like-minded when we are of one love. Well, that shouldn't be surprising to you, considering what Jesus Christ said to his disciples when they were here with him on the earth. In John chapter 13, in verses 34 and 35, Jesus Christ said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And that's why it's a new commandment, because now he says, I don't want you just to love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to love as I have loved you. And then he said in verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You see, today there are true Christians, born-again Christians, not just professing Christians, and they are divided. They don't have love one to another. And consequently, others who see the discord can't tell that they are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it shouldn't be like that. That's why Paul said, fulfill you my joy, and that you be like-minded, having the same love. He said, boy, that will show them that you are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will ultimately show that great love that we are supposed to have for each other. Turn to 1 John, 1 John, the epistle of John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, back there in the back of your New Testament. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And so that's what Jesus Christ was getting at. And Paul calls this the same love. He said, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. You know why he called it the same love? It's the love that comes from God. Here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You see, it starts with God. We love him because he first loved us. And if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So it permeates from God. God loved us when we were unlovable, so we turn right around and love others. And you know something? There is joy in this kind of love. A godly love between brothers and sisters in Christ. We are like-minded when we are of one love. Go back to Philippians chapter 2 and notice, Paul says, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. Well, you know how it is in your family when the children all love each other. Or you know how it is for the parents when the parents love each other. You know how it is amongst your friends when the friendships are so close that you truly love each other. You know how it is in the church when the brethren love each other. There's joy in that love. We're like-minded also when we are of one accord. Paul says in Philippians 2:2, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. Watch it, being of one accord. One love, one accord. One accord. That's the condition that you find the disciples in following the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, they were there in the upper room. And look at them. Acts chapter 1, verse 13. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with, watch it, one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They all continued with one accord. What is one accord? To be of one accord is to agree. That's right, to be in agreement. This is where doctrine comes in. This is where the trouble starts. Listen, when we submit to the truth of the words of God and we submit to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know what we find? We find the same doctrine. And when we find the same doctrine, we can agree. You see, the words of God are the truth of God. Jesus Christ, in prayer to his Father in John 17:17, said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we find that all scripture is given by inspiration of the Spirit. Now, inspiration is that doctrine whereby we understand what we're reading. The only other place in the Bible where the word inspiration is used in Job 32:8, and he says, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. So, when you say, okay, listen, I recognize these are the words of God here, and I'm going to submit to them, I'm going to believe them. And I'm going to submit to the inspiration of the Spirit so the Spirit can teach me, because he comes here as the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth. Then you know something? You and I are going to come up with the same doctrine. And when we do, we're going to agree with that doctrine. That's this area that we're talking about right here, this area of doctrine, this is the one area that the devil and men seriously attacked. They really do. Because if you and I agree on the words of God, if we agree on the doctrine, then we're like-minded. And in the body of Christ, when the Christians are like-minded, there is no other organism on earth stronger than the body of Christ in unity. So, men who want to be recognized for what they've learned are going to attack doctrine And so is the devil. And as a result, the body of Christ is terribly divided over doctrine. And you know something? There is no joy in that. Yet there is joy when men agree on doctrine. In 3 John, verse 4, John is writing 3 John 4, and look what he says. This is really something. He's writing to Gaius, whom I love in the truth, and in verse 4 he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, if John felt that way, just imagine the joy that God has when we walk in truth. You know, but sometimes people will say, yeah, but whose doctrine is right, mine or yours? And the only way to sort that out is to submit to the truth of the words of God and to the inspiration of the Spirit of God so he can teach us. Now, we're like-minded when we're of one love and one accord. We're also like-minded when we are of one mind. Again, go back to Philippians 2:2. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Well, when you and I got saved, we were given the mind of Christ according to 1 Corinthians 2:16. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. So when we get saved, we have the mind of Christ. And men think alike who think with the mind of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if you're thinking with the mind of Christ, and I'm thinking with the mind of Christ, we're going to be like-minded. We're going to have the same mind. We are going to be of one mind. And there is joy in being like-minded. When there's discord, there's not joy. When there is discord, someone isn't thinking with the mind of Christ. And so you start getting division. Paul speaks about this division in the next verse. We've been in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, but now look at verse 3. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know, when you start seeing division creeping in where men ought to be like-minded, you see it creep in because men start doing things, first of all, through strife. Paul said, let nothing, not even a little bit, let nothing be done through strife. Now, you know that men don't rejoice in strife unless they like to pick fights. Some people are that way. They're scorners. They are proud. They love they love transgression, and so they're picking fights. But if you're not that kind of person, you don't like strife. You don't like it in your marriage. You don't like it with your family. You don't like it in your friendships, and you surely don't like it in your church. Where does this strife come from? Well, there are a number of places, but three predominantly that we want to see now. First of all, strife comes from earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. It's wisdom, but it's the wrong kind. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and look at verses 14, 15, and 16. James chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I have seen that stuff right there, that kind of wisdom. I've seen it in my life, unfortunately, years ago. I've seen it in the church. And I mean to tell you, it tears up everything, but it's earthly. See, that didn't come from God. It's sensual, feels right. And it's devilish. Devil gets in the middle of that. Very contrary, for instance, to the wisdom that is in James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Boy, there's a totally different view of each other when you are following the wisdom that comes from above rather than that earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom. So if there's strife, you need to check and say, hey, wait a minute now, am I following the wrong kind of wisdom? You very well could be. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Carnal Christians strive and divide. It may very well be that the wisdom is right, but that the Christians are very immature, very carnal, very fleshly, very worldly. If that happens to be your case, or the case of the person with whom you're striving, then there's going to be strife there. And it's not necessarily because there's a problem with the doctrine, it's just the person is very carnal. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, another place where this strife comes from is from foolish and unlearned questions. 2 Timothy 2:23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now, all you have to do is be in the ministry for a while, particularly having a website or a radio broadcast like we do, and you're going to hear some foolish and unlearned questions. Now, when a person calls and they've got a sincere question, I've been reading in the Bible, I don't understand what I'm reading here, or I think I do, and I think this is what I understand, can you show me? Man, I love to help people with things like that. You know why? Because their questions are questions where they desire to learn. They really want to see what the Bible says. But there are some, and I mean, they start out bowed up, ready to pick a fight, and the stuff they're talking about is foolish and it's unlearned, and it does cause divisiveness. Now listen, when you see strife, you see discord. And if it's strife, then take a look and see if we're dealing with some foolishness or some carnal Christians, or if we're dealing with the wrong kind of wisdom, because that could help you clear it up. We also see division creeping in when men start doing things through vain glory. Let nothing, Paul says in Philippians 2:3, be done through strife or vain glory. Vain glory is extreme self-pride and boastfulness, excessive vanity. Solomon said, only by pride cometh contention. That's Proverbs 13:10. That's where the fight comes from. I got to be the best. You know, men are vainglorious when they do things for recognition. That's right. There are a lot of people that teach a Sunday school class or get involved as an usher or they're a greeter or they do something in the church, maybe a treasurer or a deacon or something like that, and they do it. They wouldn't tell you this, but they're doing it for their own recognition. That's vainglory. Maybe they don't flaunt the recognition. Maybe they sense a secret pride that others are noticing them in what they're doing for the Lord. Listen, that's not good stuff. That's vainglory. And when you're proud, you might have joy, but others don't. And God surely doesn't. Because that stuff is, it causes strife, it causes division, it causes people not to be like-minded. So you can't strive and be like-minded. You can't do something for vainglory, that is to draw attention to yourself, and be like-minded. The way to prevent strife and vainglory from destroying like-mindedness is by doing three things that we see in the rest of the passage that we're looking at. First of all, you can keep strife and vainglory from destroying like-mindedness by being humble. Humble. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. In lowliness of mind. Look at verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, watch it, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the first way to keep strife and vainglory from cropping up and destroying like-mindedness is to be humble. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and yet while he was on earth, he was a servant who had no reputation. Isaiah 53:2 says, "He had no form nor comeliness that we should desire him." I've cut a little piece of that verse out, you'll notice. But the point is, he wasn't beautiful. He wasn't attractive so that people would follow him for his outward appearance. He didn't have that kind of draw like so many men do today. When men are humble, God is magnified. That's what the Lord was doing here. When men are humble, God's words are magnified. In Psalm 138, verse 2, we read a marvelous verse of Scripture. "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." That's something else. People make a big deal out of the name. Jehovah's Witnesses, they make a big deal out of the name. The Jesus Only group, they make a big deal out of the name. And the name is big, don't get me wrong, but he said, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And when you submit yourself in humility to the words of God, when you come to the Bible with a humble mind and a believing heart, God's going to show you something. And you're going to be more suitable to help other people because you're going to have the mind of a servant, not the mind of somebody that needs to be served. Well, that really, really cuts down on the strife and the discord. The way to prevent strife and vainglory from destroying like-mindedness is by being humble, by being respectful. Look again in Philippians 2:3. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." That's respect. And you know something? Esteeming other better than themselves is a hard thing for men to do when we've got this flesh. Why? Because men want to prove that they are the better man. They arm wrestle. They compete in athletics. They compete in business and other ways. That's just the nature of men. It's a carnal nature. It's a fleshly nature. And we still live in these bodies, and we know from the things that we've seen this week, what we've read in the Bible, that the flesh needs to be put down. We need to walk in the newness of life. But I'll tell you what, men want to prove they're the better man. And the Lord said, "Esteem other better than themselves." In Christ, we are to consider others better than ourselves. That's what Jesus Christ did when he came to the earth. He would not have done what he did for us if he hadn't looked at us and said, "It's worth more for me to do this for you than it is to do it for myself." Which leads to the third point in making sure that strife and vainglory don't destroy like-mindedness. And that is, we need to be humble, respectful, and listen, considerate. Philippians 2:4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You see, we live today in that generation where it's all about us, the me generation, the millennials, boastful, proud, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, lovers of their own selves. We read all that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it's a tough, tough, terrible time. Watching people so stuck on themselves. But look in Romans chapter 15. You see another verse here. Romans chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." See, Jesus took it. The things that we did against God, Jesus took that on himself. Why? Because he decided he didn't want to please himself. He wanted to please us. He wanted to do something that was good for our edification. So in Christ, we're not only concerned with our own things. We are also concerned with the things of other people. Listen, when you're like-minded, you desire their well-being. Our desire is to help others and bear each other's burdens. That's the kind of thing that Paul was telling the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. He said, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Our desire is to help others bear their burdens, desire their well-being, do something good for them. Now listen, think about this. You always, because we're talking about rejoicing in like-mindedness, you always find more joy in doing for others than in having them do for you. Just the way we are. I mean, even in our carnal natures, this is true. You find more pleasure finding just the right gift for your spouse, finding just the right gift for your children, than you do in receiving a gift from either one of them. That's true. When you love somebody, you really do want to do something for them that is just right. It's considerate. Now, you know that like-mindedness brings God joy. That's right. God wants to see all of us loving each other. I'm talking about just what we've visited today, like here in our church or in our families, in our homes. He wants to see us together. Like-mindedness also not only brings joy to God, but it brings joy to those who minister to you. Paul said, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded." Paul did not want to see strife in the church in Philippi. He already saw it in Corinth, and it really broke his heart. He didn't want to see that. Paul said, "Fulfill ye my joy." And you're going to find something too. I mean, God finds joy in like-mindedness. Paul certainly found joy in like-mindedness. And you're going to find, if you haven't already found it, that like-mindedness brings joy to you and those with whom you're like-minded. So rejoice in like-mindedness. And listen, truly, if there's a problem with love, clear up the problem. If the problem is with doctrine and you can't be in one accord, go to the Scripture and clear up the doctrine. If the problem is not being of one mind, then change your mind. And end the strife and end the vainglory. Approach each other in humility and respect and consideration. And you know something? Your joy will increase. The joy of the minister will increase. And God's joy will increase. Rejoice in like-mindedness, and may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.